in Seattle,
Seattle.
And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you,
because
we're the realtors
that you can trust.
So go to RodandDonceDown.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at RonandDon.com.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? Welcome to the Real Estate Edition only. Yeah, we do it every Friday. We talk real estate Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It's the Ron and Don that you've always loved over the last 30 years. But on Friday, we like to talk about real estate and what we're learning in the sound. We sell the sound. So if you're in Seattle, you're on the east side. If you're up in Edmonds, all the way down to Olympia, Centralia, places like that. And even if you're out on the sound somewhere, right? So, yeah, I just visited one of our clients over in Manchester, which is over in Port Orchard, Bremerton, places like that. We sell the sound. So we're here to buy, here to help sell and invest. And we know the sound because we sell the sound, because you live all over the sound. If you look at the miles on my car, you know we sell the sound because you have to drive the sound. Yeah. Anyway, hey, let's talk about this. Let's talk about your retirement. We talked about this a little bit in the last episode of the Ron and Don Show. And I have to say that people in Seattle and even some of our clients were very, very fortunate. If you bought a real estate before there was a company here called Starbucks, and before there was a company here called Boeing, or before there was a company here, and that's taking you way back, but especially a company called Amazon or even Microsoft, because Ron, we're able to go back and see what people paid for single family homes in the 40s and 50s, but even for some people that bought these homes in the 70s or 80s. And we are talking about homes that they bought for tens of thousands of dollars that are now big banks for them, and many of them are worth millions of dollars, right?
Yeah, it is remarkable when, many times I'll be working on a Ron and Don listing, you know, like you said, selling the sound, and I'll go in and I'm building things out, and I need to find, the software asks you, well, when was the last, do you want me to import the information from the last sale? And so if you go, yeah, sure, that'd be great. So you click on the yes button, and you go back, it's like, oh, the last sale was when this house was built, or it might have been 40 years ago. And you go in and see what that house sold for back then, and it can be, like you said, pennies on the dollar of what we think about today. Really nice houses in nice neighborhoods that could be like we have a friend that lives right off of Discovery Park, and you know their house was maybe $190,000 back then, maybe $200,000 back in the day, and it would be millions of dollars now. So depending on the neighborhood you chose. But again, back then, that was a lot of money. It always feels like it's a lot of money. It doesn't matter when you try to buy real estate. It always feels like it's a lot of money and it's going to be a big stretch. I don't think there's any house or piece of property that I ever bought that I didn't have that feeling of like, wow, this is a stretch. This is a lot. And am I going to be able to swing this? Am I going to be able to do this? And then you get down the road, you know, 5-10 years, and you're like, wow, that was a great investment, because look at it, how it's performed now. Yeah. Specifically in the Pacific Northwest, that doesn't count for every market everywhere. Of course, there are markets in small towns where you could buy something and the market dips or goes down, or it doesn't hold its value. But around here, if you're in the sound of our voice here in the Pacific Northwest, you'd be hard pressed to find an area that did not hold its value and go up in the last 25 years.
Yeah, so let's say you're sitting on the other side of that though, and you didn't buy a house in the 80s or the 90s or even the 2000s, and now you're trying to move into the housing market, and you're like, how do I do that? And this is something I want you to think about, because we have a client right now that I've been working with. In fact, two different clients. And one of them's young, in his 30s, a police officer, some other clients, early 40s. And they're like, man, you know, how are we going to go out and buy a $1.2 million property? Because we can't qualify for a $1.2 million-dollar property. Well, what you can do is you can start looking at different types of housing. And you've heard of something called multi-housing before. Multi-housing just means that multiple people are going to live on the property. And maybe it's a situation where you're like, yeah, well, I can't afford to go out and buy an apartment building. And maybe you can't, but could you afford to go out and buy a duplex? Here's the cool thing about going out and buying a duplex. And what does a duplex mean? It just means you have two doors. So a police officer I work with, his name's Anthony. Anthony just went out and he bought a duplex. And what he's going to do, and I love him because he's a hardscrabble kid. What he's going to do, and this is a big piece of property. It's up near Arlington, and that's where he's a state trooper. He actually, on a different piece of the property, has a trailer. He has bought the duplex. He's going to rent out both doors of the duplex, and he's going to live in the trailer. And he's like, man, I'm 30. I'm on the road most of the time with State Patrol, out doing what I got to do, protecting the community. I don't have kids. I don't have a wife. I don't have a girlfriend. It's just me and my dog. And he thinks it's pretty cool to live in a trailer. And sometimes it is cool to live like that in order to leverage yourself into a property like that. Because you know what? Not only has he purchased his duplex now and he's gone in and he's fixed up the inside so he can charge more money for rent, he's renting out both of them. And one of the doors actually pays for the mortgage every month. And then the other door is actually cash flow for him. It's putting thousands of dollars in his pocket every month while he's living out in the trailer basically for free because he didn't spend much for the trailer. And he's taking that money. He's going to save that money. And at some point, he's going to sell the duplex, and then he's going to go out and buy a fourplex. And with the fourplex, he's going to live in one of those doors, make that his primary, and now he has three doors to rent out. Do you see how that works? It's called the stack. And when you buy a fourplex, you wait, go ahead, you build equity in that property, and then what you may do is hang on to the property and pull out equity and go buy something else, or you may sell that property altogether and go buy an eightplex. What is an eightplex? Well, you're living in one door if you're going to make that your primary, and then you're renting out those seven other doors. The cool thing is, as these properties begin to get more expensive, the bank, they don't, in fact, a lot of banks, in some cases, they're not even going to look at your credit score the way that they would look when they're looking at a single family home. Ron, they like to look at the rent rolls of how the property performs, and that's what's really unique about multifamily. It's about how does that property perform? What are the rent rolls? That's the way the bank looks at it, right?
Yeah, there are programs out there that see whether or not the building itself can carry the debt and not you as an individual. How do you get past, though? There are a lot of people, and we talk about it here a lot on the show, where like they want someplace that's nice, they want good internet, they want Uber Eats to deliver their food and Amazon to deliver packages, and in their mind, that's not an option to them. They would think, I don't want to live in a trailer, I want to live somewhere nice, I want it to be cozy, I want to feel safe and secure in this piece of property that I own. How do you break through and get creative, or do you think that's something people are just born with, or can you learn to go, I'm going to be creative and it's not going to be forever. I'm going to be creative for a season so that I can get in the game.
Well, it's a good question, Ron. Most Americans don't save. They don't. Our ability to save for retirement is horrible. Our country doesn't really have pensions anymore. Most people don't save the max in their 401k. If you're an entrepreneur, you don't have someone out there matching your 401k. Maybe some people end up saving late in life, and maybe you got lucky with a piece of real estate if you lived in the Pacific Northwest. But if you live somewhere in the interior of the country, you didn't get lucky. The house that I grew up in is worth maybe $25,000 more than it was worth when my parents sold it back in the 70s. My grandparents' house, I think for what they sold it for, in the early 90s is probably what it's worth today. And that's in the Midwest. So we've been very fortunate when we have grown up and we went out and the family had a house or we bought a house and we wake up one day and we're like, wow, this thing's worth $1.5 million. I'm super smart. No, you're not. You're super lucky, right? Maybe you're super smart. I don't know. So the thought is, though, if you ask my son this question, 1 year we had to move in a basement. One summer we lived in 6 different places. And I just told him, I said, hey, man, wherever our pictures are, that's where home is. And we just lived out of boxes in my truck. And we moved from place to place. This is when I left the radio station. And I had different properties that I owned. And 1 month this door was open, and 1 month that door was open. And I was just moving around from property to property. I was working on most of these properties at the time so that I could rent them out. I slept in my friend's basement for 3 months, just my son and I in a bed. I slept in the house that I'm in right now. I slept in the basement, and I rented out the upstairs. And so we adopted a saying that just said, hey, let's get comfortable with being uncomfortable. But we also saw the finish line. We knew it wouldn't be forever. We knew the reason why we were making the sacrifice, so one day we could live upstairs. Yeah, and it was hard when we heard other people sharing a Christmas in our living room, or you heard them laughing, playing music, having fun. But all it did is it made us more determined with the plan of let's get comfortable with being uncomfortable. We weren't born with a silver spoon in our mouth. We're going to have to work for it. And so I look back at that, and it was really good for me to go through that. It was good for him to go through that. It was good for us to go through that. And even today, you know, we make sacrifices, and we always think in terms of, hey, we're going to go on a vacation this summer. The vacation we're going to go on is going to be fairly expensive. And so when we leave, we're going to rent out the door of our home to somebody else, and it's going to pay for the vacation that we're going to go on. And my son and I have figured out what that vacation is and where we're going, and we applied for his passport the other day, but we had to come up with a plan. How are we going to pay for this vacation? Well, we're going to pay for this vacation by having a piece of real estate on a short-term rental license pay for our vacation. And so he's going to have that skill set. He has part of that skill set now at 13. He'll be able to have that skill set for the rest of his life. And that's something that all of us could do. We have to look at housing sometimes, I think, differently. Sometimes we get too nostalgic, I think, about the homes that we live in. You know what? Your home is where your heartbeat is, your family's heartbeat. Your home is where you're at. Our home is where our family pictures are. If you look around my house, there's pictures everywhere. And when we leave this property, I'll take all those pictures down. They go in a box. And we come back, we just pull our pictures back out. So anyway, a lot of us weren't born with a silver spoon. A lot of us didn't invest when we were younger. And a lot of us are in a situation now where we have to play catch up. And you can play catch up with a piece of real estate. But it's hard to do with just one door. But you can do that when you have multiple doors on your property. So all the real estate I own, almost all of them, I think except for one, have multiple doors on that property. If you ask my son what that means, it means multiple doors of opportunity. It means getting butts in beds, as my friend Joe likes to say. And it means multiple opportunities to have checks come to the house every month to pay down that real estate and to have a great life and a great secure future. It's not all about money, but you guys, life is so expensive. And you've seen this sometimes, especially when you have a health concern. Health insurance doesn't cover much anymore. We pay, just for him, I think $1,350 a month, just for him and health insurance. That's Obamacare, and it doesn't cover anything. Every time he has to go to the hospital for something or go see the doctor, I still get this mega bill, and I'm like, oh, great. Thank you. They paid for 6% of this. That's unbelievable. So anyway, life is expensive. We need to prepare. We need to have some preparation. Most Americans haven't done that. We become reliant on Social Security. And who knows if Social Security is going to be around for us. And certainly, will Social Security be around for our kids? And I think the day of the pension's over. So think about multifamily. Think about getting a duplex. Think about if you're not going to live in a trailer, you live in one door, rent out the other door. And when that thing builds equity, selling that and buying 4 doors of opportunity, and who knows? Maybe that's how Trump ended up in the Trump Tower. Maybe he started in a duplex. And the next thing you know, you own a tower.
Maybe. Doubtful, but maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, you guys, thanks for listening to the show, Ron. If they need us, just reach out, right?
Yeah, we have a website, ronandonsitdown.com. You can book a sit down right there, or you can email me directly, ron@ronandon.com. We've got a lot of a blog posts, a lot of great information on there about the topics that we just talked about and a bunch of other stuff. You can download those, a seller playbook or a buyer playbook. And if you want to talk about this, if you hear this and go, yeah, I want to try to jump in that game, or I just want to buy my first townhouse, or I want to sell, maybe I have a family situation going on right now where we need to sell a property, get in touch with us. We would love to partner with you. And again, that is ronandonsitdown.com.
ronandonsitdown.com. Hey, you guys, head up, shoulders back. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to the Ron and Don Show only on the Ron and Don Radio Network.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back and keep blowing that trumpet, and we'll see you next time.
Only
on the Ron and Don Radio Network.